In the scripture, in ancient times, there were probably, I think they said, 11 different uses of salt. I tried to think of how many I used them for, and I think I came up with 6. We got the salt on the table, right, that you season your food with. We got rock salt that we throw down on steps so we don't slide. If I have a sore throat, I gargle with salt water so that it has a healing property. That's 3. Sometimes you have salted pork, or it's used as a preservative to prevent decay. Use salt in my fish tank. Not exactly sure why, but they put it in there, sort of balance it out. And we got the salt that we put in a water conditioner. Sometimes you have hard water or whatever. That's 6 that I could think of. Anybody else? Can you think of any?
To make homemade ice cream.
Okay. There we are.
Epsom salts.
Yeah. Gardening. Kind of the healing property stuff.
Gardening. For cleaning.
Cleaning.
Use sour cream for it.
Okay.
How about smelling salts that revive someone? Maybe that's not salt. But...
Yep. Yeah, I don't know if that's... Thinking more than specifically the sodium hydrochloride, right? I mean, but yeah. Okay, for deer, yeah. So there's a lot of purposes. I mean, that you know, I came up with a few. We came up with a few. So right after this whole thing about the Beatitudes, then we got this interesting thing about salt and light. You know, we're told in the scripture earlier. I think it's in the Psalms. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Taste and see. So if we do these things, if we are blessed in the Beatitudes, we become salt and we become light. Now the interesting thing is that when you have salt, and it seems that probably the commentaries were saying that probably the salt that they're referring to here is salt for seasoning. Now, actually, salt in medieval times, I mean, when they get into this whole thing about if salt loses its saltiness, what's it good for? Now, for us, since it's pure, like get it out of the salt shaker, you put it in water, it dissolves, there isn't anything left over. It may not make sense to us if salt loses its saltiness. But what these guys did was they went along the Dead Sea and in salt marshes and they dug up salt. And there was a lot of crud in it. So as water leached through the salt, saltiness can be gone, but then it would have all this junk. And then they would use it like road fill. They'd put it on steps to keep people from slipping, and they would just throw it out. They'd use it to make paths because the saltiness was, in fact, gone. So that's where that whole thing comes from. It's a different... The thing about salt is different. We talk about salt all the time. Someone say, you know, well, I'll tell you what, that Jim Hall, he's the salt of the earth. What would that mean? Probably he's a pretty cool guy. Or he's not worth his salt. You ever think about, you hear that? That guy isn't worth his salt. Salt was so important in the ancient world that they used to pay Roman legionnaires in salt. That's how they paid their salary. That's where the he's not worth his salt came from, because they would pay them wages in salt. It's a huge thing, and often we take it for granted in our life. We take salt for granted. Now, if you have a steak and you put a little salt on it, or maybe a piece of watermelon or an apple or something like that, you don't end up saying, boy, that was the greatest salt I ever tasted. Who gets the credit? The watermelon, the apple, the meat. The salt is just a seasoning, just an additive. But it makes all the difference in the world that it is there. It calls attention to and really highlights whatever the food is. But it can't be taken for granted. Until it's not there, until it's missing, then it's really clear that it needed to be there, and it's not there anymore. light as well. You know, should we be in this room and have these windows covered at night and no lights on and it be pitch black? I don't know if you've ever, some of you probably have experienced total darkness. I remember one time going down in a mine on a tour, and they said, how many of you have experienced total darkness? Well, usually for most of us, even being in the country, you don't experience total darkness. There's a light somewhere, light from the moon or the stars. But if you've ever experienced total darkness, it's a trip. You can hold your hand right here, and you have no way of seeing it. They turned off the lights in that mine, and it was black, pitch black. Now, if you had a light, if you had a flashlight, you'd kind of be in control of the party, you know, because you'd have that light and everybody would see it and it would be aware, you'd be aware that it was there. Jesus uses these two analogies that can often be taken for granted, light and salt, probably not taken for granted as much in his time as we can now. Hit the switch, the light comes on. Grab the salt shaker, put it on your steak, and it's there. We can take that for granted. But that's what we are called to be, is light and salt. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Happy are the people who take refuge in Him. It's the rest of that. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Taste and see. That's what we are called to be. Light and salt. In this world that if we watch the news fairly closely, and not even that closely, or some of us have tried not to hear the news because it just drives us crazy, what do we need now? Light and salt. We don't need argument. We don't need fighting. We just need to do what Jesus called us to do. And calls us, as a Christian community, who Jesus calls us to be. Light and salt. And it's very interesting that when we do that, and it's in the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous or those types of self-help programs, they talk about that program being a selfish program. That you're doing it to help yourself remain sober. But the way you do that is by giving it away. You work with other people. You proclaim to other people the life that you have found in sobriety. And I think ultimately that's what we're called to do in our Christian faith. That when we give it away, when we feed the hungry, when we clothe the naked, when we welcome the stranger, when we do all these things that we're called to do, it's not just for them. Actually, it's for us. That we feel more alive. We become more human. It's very easy for us to turn in on ourselves and just become very self-absorbed. But at least for me, that's when I am the most lonely and the most broken, the most frightened, is when I turn in on myself and just sort of shut down. Because that's when I start feeling sorry for myself and yada, yada, yada. But when I am salt, when I am light, when I open up to all of creation, and all brothers and sisters, and really follow not only what Jesus is saying, but you know, from the reading that we heard today, in the first reading from the Old Testament. I mean, it's all the way through the Scripture what we are called to do and who we are called to be as a Christian community. And you know what? It doesn't matter what the salt shaker looks like. Or how much salt is in the salt shaker. I mean, it's real clear if it's empty. But we don't have the most glorious salt shaker here. It's pretty cool. But there are people that got cooler salt shakers. We don't have a whole lot of salt in that salt shaker. We got room here for other folks to come in. But you know, it doesn't matter. Because Jesus didn't call us to be concerned about the size of the salt shaker or how much salt is in it. What he called us to do is to be salt and to be light. To add flavor, to add taste, to give direction and stability and light in a world that needs light. That's what we're called to do. And when we do that, we benefit. It's an irony, the way that that works. But we benefit from that as well. Because it opens up our hearts and our lives to mysteries that are quite beyond us. So that's my prayer selfishly for myself this week and this month. And for all of you, that you be salt and you be light in whatever and however you are called to do that. It may be in your family, it may be in your community, it might be to your children. However that is. And if you open your heart and you remain open to the direction and the calling of our Lord, it will become apparent to you how to do that. It'll become very clear. Of course, then we're given the choice whether we're going to do it or not. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May his light shine upon us and give us peace.